This morning, I was visiting with Father out in the gathering area before Mass, and I kidded him saying that everybody must knew I was going to be having the privilege to do the homily this morning. He got a pretty good chuckle out of that one. This Sunday's readings bring the usual warnings about preparation for the end of our own world, our own time, and passage into another world. They also tell us that a searching, watching, involving heart is essential for a lively faith in God. The readings ask us whether we are ready for these events and how we prepare for them. Since Jesus' parable in today's gospel has five well-prepared wise women, the first reading personifies wisdom as a woman. The author advises the Jews in Alexandria not to envy the wisdom of the pagan philosophers, because they have true wisdom in their sacred scriptures, a wisdom which regardless not only this life, which regulates not only this life, but the next also. They must live their lives in strict conformity with the divine wisdom given them so generously by God. In the second reading, Paul assures those Christians who expected Jesus' second coming in their lifetime that the death and resurrection of Jesus is powerful enough to save even those who die before the second coming of Jesus. But they are to be alert, well-prepared, and vigilant. In Matthew's Gospel, the parable of the 10 virgins, the foolish virgins represent the chosen people of God who were waiting for the Messiah but shut out from the heavenly banquet because they were unprepared. The parable teaches us that, like the five wise virgins, we should attend to the duties of the present moment, preparing now rather than waiting until it is too late. It is difficult to think of any theme in Scripture that is more strongly developed or persuasive than the one that ties together these readings this weekend. It's a simple enough idea, and simply put, is the fact that we as human beings do remarkably well answering questions that call for facts, questions that start with what, where, and when. But we don't do as good answering questions that begin, why? What does that mean? Only God can answer such questions as those unless we are willing to substitute his word for ours, his value for ours, his way of acting for ours. We will certainly fall short of the truth. Historically, such a sacrifice of self-reliance has been a difficult one for us to make. The temptation has been that we are quite capable of judging for ourselves what is right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. By the time of Hosea, the Hebrews had done a fine job of building a religious culture on the basis of the revelation to Moses at Mount Sinai. Their law was complex and detailed, rich in ritual and worship, as well as creed and ethic. They began to put all their confidence in their law, their ability to direct themselves. As they centered more and more on the reasonable morality of man's designs, they fell further and further short of the radical morality of God's design. So through Hosea and the other prophets, God told the people that he was dissatisfied with their formalism and superficial worship. The prophets effected some reform, but not much. And by the time Christ began his ministry, the bulk of the people were again putting all their confidences in their human law, their ability to judge the value of ideas and actions, and even of people. And this time they had become so wrapped up in their own ways that when God's ways were again revealed in Christ, they were scandalized, angered at what they saw. For Christ not only to talk to a person like Matthew, but even choose him as a friend, an apostle, was a scandal. The law clearly taught that a believer should keep himself free from the company of sinners. And when Christ is criticized for this kind of behavior, he responds with a quote from Hosea. It is loving kindness that God asks of us more than ritual purity. He tells the Pharisees to ponder on that and learn what those words mean. Today, we only have to look around us at the signs being displayed in our society and around the world. The lack of respect for life, treatment of others, self-gratification, and the list goes on. Maybe we can draw some parallels with the state of things in Hosea's time versus today, and they will provide the knowledge for our future actions. A willingness to substitute Christ's example for our own judgment, even our own instincts, can only be done through a genuine self-surrender. As St. Paul puts it in the second reading, the self-surrender of faith. Faith much of the time means thinking, believing, acting in ways that go beyond reason, if not against it. Faith means following God's way, and God's ways are not ours. Mary, Queen of Peace.